Welcome to the Motor City Sports Rundown. I am your host, and with me, as always, is my co-host to break down a very tense week in Detroit sports.
Great to be here. We have a packed show today, and unfortunately, a lot of it is centered around some serious playoff anxiety brewing at Little Caesars Arena. That is putting it mildly. The Pistons are in a spot nobody expected after a historic 60-win regular season, and the pressure is entirely on them right now. We will dive deep into exactly what went wrong in Game 4, and whether they can actually bounce back in Game 5 to save their season. It is do or die. We are also going to shift gears to the gridiron and look at how the national pundits are grading the Lions' latest draft class. Mel Kiper Jr. has weighed in, and we will discuss if his B grade is fair or if Brad Holmes deserved a little more credit for his process. Let's get right into it.
Let's start with a piece from the Detroit Free Press titled, "Detroit Pistons Vow, We'll Be Ready for Game 5. Why Believe Them Now?" And honestly, that headline captures the exact mood of the fan base right now. People are panicked.
It really does. I mean, you look at what happened in Game 4, a 94-88 loss, and it is just stunning. The Pistons are the number one seed. They won 60 games this year, securing the top spot in the East for the first time since 2007. And now, they are down 3-1 to the Orlando Magic.
And remember, this Orlando team is an 8 seed that literally had to survive the play-in tournament just to qualify for the postseason. This was supposed to be a gentleman's sweep for Detroit.
Exactly. But it wasn't just that they lost Game 4. It was how they lost it. 20 turnovers. 20! In a playoff game of that magnitude, you simply cannot hand the ball over 20 times. Especially when you consider that Orlando only committed 12 turnovers in the same game. That 8 turnover differential is the entire ballgame when the final score is 94-88. You are giving away 8 extra possessions in a 6-point game. It is a recipe for disaster, and it speaks to a lack of composure from a team that was remarkably steady all year. Right. And after the game, head coach J.B. Bickerstaff tried to project confidence. He said, "I trust our guys that we'll focus on it, we'll learn from it, we'll study it, we'll get better at it, and then Monday we'll be ready to go." And obviously Game 5 is scheduled for Wednesday at Little Caesars Arena, so he's talking about getting back to the practice facility and fixing the glaring issues. But the Free Press is asking the right question. Why should we believe them now? We heard similar sentiments after Game 3, and they came out and looked completely disjointed on offense in Game 4. The lack of secondary scoring is becoming a massive problem. It really is. When the primary options are getting blitzed and trapped, the secondary guys have to make Orlando pay. Instead, they are hesitating, making bad passes, and contributing to that massive turnover number. And now they are fighting history.
The history is terrifying if you are a Pistons fan. According to the research brief, only 6 number 8 seeds have ever defeated a number 1 seed in a playoff series in NBA history. 6 times in the entire history of the league. Detroit is staring right down the barrel of becoming number 7.
That is the kind of legacy you do not want attached to this core. A 60-win season completely overshadowed by a first-round collapse. The pressure inside Little Caesars Arena on Wednesday night is going to be suffocating. If they start slow or turn the ball over early, that crowd is going to get very tight very fast.
You have to wonder if the regular season success actually hurt them in a way. They rarely faced this kind of adversity over the last 6 months. They front-ran beautifully, but playoff basketball is a different animal. Orlando is playing physical, desperate basketball, and Detroit looks like they are waiting for the regular season referees to bail them out.
That is a great point. The Magic are playing with house money. Nobody expected them to be up 3-1. All the expectation is on Detroit. Bickerstaff's quote about studying and getting better is fine, but this isn't about X's and O's anymore. It is about force and will. Can they protect the basketball and hit open shots when the season is on the line?
We will find out Wednesday. But if they turn it over 20 times again, they are going home early. And this offseason is going to feature some very uncomfortable conversations about the ceiling of this roster.
over to the gridiron, the post-draft grades are rolling in. We have a piece from Lions Wire looking at ESPN analyst Mel Kiper Jr.'s assessment of Detroit's class. He handed Brad Holmes and the front office a solid B grade. A B grade is respectable, but it is always fascinating to see how the national media views what the Lions are doing compared to how the local fan base feels. Kiper heavily focused on the offensive line, specifically the selection of Blake Miller in the first round. Right, Kiper highlighted the Miller pick as a critical move to address pass protection needs. With Taylor Decker departing, there was a massive hole at tackle, and Miller is the guy they are trusting to fill it. It is a huge responsibility for a rookie. Replacing a veteran anchor like Decker is no small feat. But Kiper seems to think Miller has the fundamental pass protection skills to keep Jared Goff upright. The real debate in Kiper's grade, though, seems to stem from the second round. Exactly. The Lions took edge rusher Derek Moore in the second round. Kiper noted this as a clear attempt to add upside opposite Aiden Hutchinson. But he also explicitly acknowledged that the Lions passed on other edge options that he personally preferred. Which is classic Mel Kiper. He has his board, and if a team deviates from his rankings, their grade takes a slight hit. But if we have learned anything over the last few years, it is that Brad Holmes does not care about media draft boards. Not even a little bit. Holmes trusts his scouts and his own evaluations. But looking at the Derek Moore pick objectively, the need was glaring. Opposing offenses have been sliding protection toward Hutchinson consistently. Moore has to be the guy to make them pay for doing that. And that is why the B grade feels like it is hedging a bit. Kiper recognizes the Lions attacked their two biggest roster holes, offensive tackle and edge rusher. They prioritized immediate needs over taking a massive swing on a luxury player with a higher theoretical ceiling. I think that is exactly what a contending team should do. When you are in a Super Bowl window, you don't necessarily need a home run talent if it means ignoring a glaring weakness. You need functional starters who can contribute in week one. Miller and Moore fit that description perfectly. I agree. The B grade accurately reflects a draft that was more meat and potatoes than flash. But post-draft grades are so subjective anyway. We have seen Kiper give A grades to classes that completely busted 3 years later, and C grades to classes that built championship cores. For sure. The real grade will be determined by whether Blake Miller can hold up against elite NFL edge rushers in October. If he struggles, the offense stalls. If he thrives, nobody will care that Kiper gave them a B instead of an A.
And the same goes for Derek Moore. If he can generate consistent pressure and take the double teams off Hutchinson, this draft is a massive success. Holmes has earned the benefit of the doubt with his track record, so I am willing to bet this B grade looks a lot better in hindsight.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we get out of here.
Sounds good. We have got some baseball to talk about as the Tigers hit the road for a tough interleague matchup.
The Tigers are in Atlanta to open a three-game series against the Braves on April 28th. Detroit comes in at 15-14, facing a Braves squad that is rolling with a 20-9 record. Casey Mize takes the mound with a 2-1 record and a 2.51 ERA against Martin Perez.
Mize will need his best stuff. The Braves are batting .274 as a team, which is second in the National League. But Detroit's pitching staff has a solid 3.97 ERA, ranking fourth in the AL. It is strength against strength, though the Tigers really need to improve their 5-12 road record, especially with Atlanta missing key guys like Spencer Strider and Sean Murphy.
Looking at the betting markets for that series, the odds reflect the challenge. The Braves are listed as moneyline favorites at minus 122, with the Tigers sitting as plus 104 underdogs for the Wednesday matchup.
That makes sense given Atlanta's 20-9 start, but with that exact Mize versus Perez pitching matchup, there might be some value on Detroit. Perez has a 2.70 ERA, but if Mize can keep the ball in the park against that potent Braves lineup, the Tigers are very capable of pulling off the upset on the road.
That is going to do it for today's episode of the Motor City Sports Rundown.
Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. We appreciate everyone tuning in.
We will be back next time to see if the Pistons survived Game 5 or if we are doing a very painful postmortem. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon.